be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "You see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this. And now I am sending down to you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city then until you are clothed with the power from on high." Then he took them out as far as the outskirts of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Now as he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. They worshipped him and then went back to Jerusalem full of joy. And they were continuing in the temple, praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it was last Sunday when we, in our second reading from the Apocalypse, John's account of the vision of the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and the absence of any temple in that heavenly city. Because today we hear of the temple going up to heaven, because the temple is the living place where God is with his people. The temple in Jerusalem was the place where God had promised to meet his people, there to dwell in their midst, there to answer their prayers. Now that temple has been superseded because going up to heaven was the true temple. If you remember Holy Week and in the reading of the Passion, we always hear that striking thing. After the Lord's death, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It's always saying, of course, it's God had torn it, because if it's that high up, we couldn't get there. But God tore it open. Not an act of destruction, but the removing, in a sense, of an obstacle, of a veil, of something that impeded communication from one side of the veil to the other. The death of Jesus was that moment when that impenetrable veil between God and humanity had been breached for good. And that's why I'm concentrating today on that second reading we heard from Hebrews. And that's what it has to tell us, because it says when Christ died, he was the temple. Do you remember when they were accusing him? We heard him say he was going to destroy this temple. It took 46 years to build. He said he'll do it in 3 days. You know, but he was speaking of the temple, which was his body. So it was not only the temple, it was also the sacrifice, and he was the priest. And by his death, it says, he'd torn apart sin. All that remained was for the Christ, the priest, having torn open the veil of the temple, to enter himself, into the presence of the Father. And that's what he does on this day that we keep, the great celebration, the Ascension. And we see it only often as the apostles did in that first reading. They saw the Lord depart. And there's always a lovely altar in the shrine in Walsingham, in the Anglican shrine, the Ascension altar. And there's two little feet on the roof, which I think is always interesting, you see, there. But they saw him go, but they didn't see him arrive or enter. But they knew the Lord had gone right to his rightful place, back to the Father. And so that's what that second reading, so important, that Hebrews reading today, because it's describing that for us, for in the ascension, Christ, who is the temple, the lamb of sacrifice, and the priest himself, goes up to heaven to complete what he'd begun on the cross. As man, he had already opened the veil, and now he went through it to the other side, ascending as man into the presence of his Father. And I've spoken before about the three liftings up. We think of the Lord, and it's always in before us, the Lord lifted up on the cross. The Lord lifted from the tomb. And the altar often represents, as it were, the tomb, because onto the top of the altar comes the risen Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Lifted from the tomb. And then today, lifted back to the Father. And this he does as our priest, our representative with the Father. So the Hebrews, that we had that second reading, says, through the blood of Jesus, we have the right to enter into the sanctuary by a new way, which he had opened for us, a living opening through the curtain, that is to say, his body. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So I'm trying to get to see that the meaning of the scriptures about Christ's death is becoming clearer, because when the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, that was Christ's sacred body, his flesh and his blood offered for us. And that being torn apart for us in death becomes the way through for us to go to heaven, because Christ's ascension into heaven is the entry of redeemed humanity into heaven. And his entry into heaven makes possible our future entry into heaven too. And the city of God that John in the Apocalypse has, the living temple, come down out of heaven at the incarnation, at the moment when Mary conceived him in her womb and he became man. Now, all that incarnation is gathered as man in Mary's womb, promised at last fulfilled, as he ascends into heaven. And there at the heart of the Godhead is redeemed humanity. He's already died and risen from the dead. And now in his ascension, he who is the living temple of God, raised to new and indestructible life, is our trailblazer into glory. This is why it's so important, and the great strength always of the New Testament was the resurrection of the Lord. But the resurrection comes to us, we do the 40 days, when the 40 days were all, that ascension bringing it all there, he goes to prepare a place for us. How often you've heard me read that when so many of us are on that last journey through life, nearly always I use those words of St. John's Gospel, I go to prepare a place for you. By that, he means taking our human flesh into heaven, into the living presence of God, and thereby makes a place ready for us. So that's what the second reading said today. Christ has made his appearance once and for all, now at the last stage, to do away with sin by sacrificing himself. You see, it's the whole Paschal mystery still continuing, going on, because it's what he did for us. So now we await his appearance to bring all things to their conclusion, which is what we say in the acclamations every Sunday. Every time we come to Mass, we use the acclamations. And Hebrews says, when he, Christ, appears a second time, it will not be to deal with sin. He's done that. But to reward with salvation those who are waiting for him. And that's why both in the acclamations at the Eucharist every day that we use, and also as we pray after the Lord's Prayer, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He doesn't merely bring us hope, he is our hope in person. Can you make the links that I gave you on Christmas Day, at the Christmas time and in the following, of those Advent candles and how the three had gone out because they saw no future, but the candle of hope was alight and said, I can light the others. Well, you see, there it is. He not merely brings us hope, he is our hope in person. See, it's all hanging, as I'm always saying to you, the Catholic faith always hangs properly together. All the links, you see, coming of what we celebrate, what we believe. And that's why in the collect today, we said, for the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation. And where he, the head, has gone before in glory, the body, us, is called to follow in hope. Even so, we can always pray, as we do in Advent, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.